Welcome to Strictly Business, Variety's weekly podcast featuring conversations with industry leaders about the business of media and entertainment. I'm Cynthia Littleton, co-editor-in-chief of Variety. Today, my guest is James Cuthbert, president of LL Cool J's Rock the Bells. Cuthbert came on board the media and commerce company in October to help rev up operations. The company, named for one of LL Cool J's early hits, has big ambition in three sectors: content, commerce, and experiences. Cuthbert sees Rock the Bells as part studio, part lifestyle brand, and part cultural resource. Rock the Bells' mission is to elevate classic hip-hop through a modern lens. Cuthbert's passion for the product is evident in the conversation ahead. Welcome back to Strictly Business. James Cuthbert, president of Rock the Bells, a very intriguing company that was launched a few years ago by LL Cool J and has grown really fast. And James came in last October to kind of help manage that growth of the organization. James, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks both so much for having me. Excited to be here.
Well, the big news for Rock the Bells in the last month is that you have gone out and raised about $8 million in private investment funding for the venture. Can you tell us with this source of this influx of capital, how do you intend to deploy it? Where do you see the growth opportunities for Rock the Bells?
Yeah, I mean, I really feel like the opportunity is limitless, right? So when we think about Rock the Bells, with this idea of being the preeminent voice of classic and timeless hip hop, and hip hop culture kind of has grown up to be intertwining one of the biggest factors on global popular culture. So I think there's a ton of opportunity for Rock the Bells holistically. And then in terms of kind of the capital that we just got in, really excited about the strategic investors that we've lined up. So it wasn't just looking to go get money from anyone. It's bringing in the right people who are value add, who've already given us a ton of advice, who strategically help us with pushing our business forward. But in terms of like what we'll do with the capital itself, one, it allows us to bring on a dynamite team. In order to do kind of the mission of really elevating classic hip hop across our three pillars of content, commerce, and experiences, it's going to be important that we have the right human beings. I like to say good human beings who love classic hip hop, who are good at what they do, and also at the right inflection point where a startup makes sense for them. But at the same time, the other thing we're going to be doing is focusing on closing some of these brand partnerships and working with brands who want to authentically play in the space. We think about Rock the Bells as a cheat code. If you want to leverage pop, hip hop culture, we can help you do it in an authentic and additive way to the culture. So you can kind of be seen in the right light, and we can really elevate this thing together. There's three underscoring pillars, you could say, of the company. We have content, commerce, and experiences. And we think of the way that those work together of forming like a flywheel. We think of the future of content as commerce and commerce as content. When you think about going to an experience, you think about kind of the creation of that experience, the content you make. If it's a festival, you probably have a convention where you're selling things. So all those three things play together. So we were very mindful when we built the business model to understand that we wanted to launch those three things at the same time. Obviously, there's a cadence in terms of how those things roll out. But when we think about it, we probably would have launched with the experience to start. But we launched in the middle of COVID. So this company was kind of born kind of working remotely and finding creative ways to continue to push forward. So we decided to start with the content and commerce businesses. On the content side, we do short, medium, and long form content. Again, all with the underlying thematic of elevating classic hip hop, building cultural bridges from people who kind of grew up with classic hip hop to people who have yet to fully discover the mythology that sits under kind of like classic hip hop. The long form would be anything from a documentary to a full feature film, episodic content where we're telling different stories on a regular basis, which we'll have launching early May. We start launching some of our episodic video content and then short content that you might see across our social channels. So that's how we think about content, again, all with the guise of elevating classic hip hop. And then on the commerce side of the business, we have a storefront on our .com.
Right.
Which we do custom drops. We partner with kind of like really cool people throughout culture to bring together some really cool and innovative merch. And we're also getting into licensing as well. So taking the Rock the Bells IP and working with some strategic partners and finding some cool ways to kind of get us out in the world I used to work at Coca-Cola. We used to say you want to be within arm's reach of desire, of a glass of Coke. And if you think about it, there's, you know, no matter where you are in the world, it doesn't matter what remote location, you can always get a Coke. That was very purposeful.
Right.
And we think about hip hop is already omnipresent and everywhere. So when we think about that commerce spread, we think about being able to access that through different categories of licensed merch. And then lastly, experiences. We would have already had a full festival and convention, but we're working on doing some stuff virtually this year. Then going into next year, we'll look to kind of, as the world continues to open up, invite people into this world so they can really kind of immerse themselves.
And would that festival be branded Rock the Bells? Would that be the...
For sure. Yes, it'd be branded Rock the Bells. And obviously there's still some good work to do as we bring on kind of a head of experience that we kind of flush out that team in that vertical, but excited to kind of get them going and really bring people a breakthrough experience. I was blessed with an opportunity to work at Red Bull for some time, and they're known for their experiences.
Right,
and
how right.
Things to life. So I felt like that kind of gave me a very interesting boost in kind of a look at best in class, experiences look like, especially how to bring in a brand or an ethos to life. In that case, giving you wings and literally, whether it's your Red Bull gives you wings. So it's kind of like bringing those, those experiences to life.
Yeah.
But for us at Rock the Bells, we want to bring you into the world, either the world you grew up with, that you're passionate about, and you kind of like you were outside when all that was happening, or a world that you have yet to fully discover, that you can kind of like join in and really experience, that moment and create new moments around classic hip hop.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the Red Bull example is so apt here because I think there is no question that it was very savvy marketing to music fans, sports mm-hmm. fans that made that stand out. And, there's a whole shelf full of energy drinks at the supermarket, but something made Red Bull stand out. And I think that music marketing really went a long way to getting that brand out there. So that's a really interesting exemplar for you. I want to go back to talking about content. Where are you showcasing your content right now? Are you looking for syndication partners, or do you do it on the rockthebells.com destination?
Yeah. So currently it's on rockthebells.com and our social handles. As we continue to develop that content, we're going to be developing syndication partners and incremental points of distribution for that content. So step one is building that engaged audience for ourselves. So leveraging a lot of our own platforms, whether that's YouTube, whether that's Instagram, Facebook, our .com. But also we're going to be partnering with brands right away to create branded content. So it'll be Rock the Bells content along with some of these partners and giving them a way to authentically speak to this audience and speak through the lens of classic hip hop to their audience as well. So that's the stuff that you'll be seeing coming out soon, but for sure have already had conversations with different distribution partners. Our biggest distribution, at least on the audio side, is obviously Rock the Bells Radio, one of the most popular channels we have on SiriusXM. But on the pure video content, we're building up our own audience, partnering with some brands, and then we have some things cooking on the distribution side. I'll talk about when they land.
Tell me, I know you have a sense of a ballpark sense of the time period that you're talking about when you say classic hip hop. Can you give a sense of like that time frame that you're thinking of?
Yeah, so we think of usually 1973, so kind of the birth of hip hop, all the way through kind of like the early to mid 2000s. So it's a pretty substantial period of time, holistically that we can consider hip hop. And then, the cool thing about classic hip hop is just like classic anything else is every year you kind of graduate new folks into it. The one thing we all do is some point we all get older. So like with the model that we're building is, there's going to be a time when you have folks like Lil Wayne is going to be classic hip hop. You have other folks, if he doesn't already have, if you don't already consider him, having classic and iconic things, which he does, but to fall into that classic area of the genre, we'll keep graduating new folks. So we're going to continue to kind of grow that pie and opportunity over time. And if you think about it, the way we think about this brand holistically, it was like the early 80s, the first time the term, classic rock was coined, I believe in a radio station in Ohio. So just imagine if somebody had wrapped their hands around classic rock and created one brand. And you think about all the billion and hundreds of million dollar brands that have spurred out of that, whether it's Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville or Hard Rock Cafes, and it kind of goes on and on. And hip hop has grown up to have a much larger influence than rock. So we are, the brand that we believe we have the right, we have the right folks, we've included the culture in our business model to really elevate and tell those stories, because we keep love at the center of everything we do.
That's a good message for this world right now. And on that theme, I know that you have been starting to talk to brands and working with brands. How do you square a classic hip hop, an art form that came up as a, you know, speaking truth to power in the larger world, talking about cultural and racial, social inequities, an art form that has advanced that so much and given voice in such a strong way? Is that something that Madison Avenue of 2021 wants to tap into because they get the authenticity? I think 20 years ago, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation, but time has passed. Can you talk about like the kind of things that brands and marketers come to you and want to reach in tapping into your demographic?
Yeah, I mean, and I've been a marketer for a long, fair part of my career. Marketers want to be relevant to their consumers. They want an authentic way to reach them and talk to them. They want to think about the things that matter in their life, and they want to find a way for their brand to matter as well. But they also have kind of gotten a little bit more wise and understanding that when you step into something else someone cares about, whether it's culture, it could be cooking, it could be anything. If you don't do it with authenticity and it comes off that you're trying to leverage and kind of like use the culture and not give anything back, you're immediately seen as not authentic. So when you're stepping to something like classic hip hop or even hip hop culture, which literally started by, with the idea of really giving a voice to the voiceless.
Exactly.
It was a whole culture created for people whose culture were stripped away. So if you think about kind of the power that sits underneath that, brands want to tap into that authenticity, but, they don't necessarily, going down that path by themselves doesn't necessarily make sense. So you come with a partner like Rock the Bells, who was born out of the love for the culture, who was born from one of the only companies fully, founded by the creators of the culture. Everyone from Kool Herc is one of our icons, who's kind of like, an icon and has some equity in this company, to Eminem, to Big Daddy Kane. You kind of list the names. We wanted the culture to be a part of what we're creating so we can drive authenticity and brands that can be authentic. Brands that can find a way to play into, culture that's happened and also that's happening now are ones that are going to have success. So like one of the examples of this, four core elements of hip hop, you have the rapping, so the music, you have the DJing, so party scene, you have breakdance, you won't have TikTok without breakdance, and then you have kind of graffiti art in our fashion, you can kind of put in that bucket as well. And if you start with classic hip hop, I can find you an authentic way to start with breakdance, and I can get you to TikTok. You can start with the kind of an MC of a classic MC, and I can get you to today. You can start with an amazing, fashioneer like a Dapper Dan, and then you can also build a bridge to somebody, a hot young designer today.
Anyone on any runway today, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. So that's, if you want to be authentic in the space, there's no more authentic place to start than to start.
Mm-hmm. I know I spoke with LL Cool J, I think last year, about when Rock the Bells was really coming together. And he acknowledged that even he was a little surprised at the reaction, just how many people were interested in looking at things on the website, stories that were posted, memories, historical videos, older, just remembrances from some of the partners in the company, and that really showed him that there was a lot of potential in someone like himself who could bring just automatic authenticity to the space.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the one thing that we found, and this kind of goes in any corporate environment. Kind of goes back to kind of what I believe is when you're in something for the right reasons, when you truly love a space. And that comes through, people see it, and it's refreshing. So you'll have classic hip hop artists that oftentimes have been told, many have been told like, oh, I'm looking for this newer artist, or I don't really understand how you can potentially fit into the scene. And they're seeing their counterparts in rock. They'll put a classic rocker right next to the new hot young artist. But oftentimes the classic hip hop artists won't get the same look. And when there's a company, what I would even say like a movement or a purpose-driven company, which wants to elevate classic hip hop to a modern lens, comes along and we pull out the white glove treatment for the culture and for the people. And we show that respect, and we want to tell their authentic stories. there's a natural affinity that's starting to happen because we're not in this. We don't, the people who I'm hiring and myself and LL Cool J, we're not doing this because this is the only way we can make money. I believe this will be incredibly financially successful, but like we're here because we love the culture and we want to elevate it. And we believe when you have a healthy core or classic hip hop and you elevate that through a modern lens, you actually inspire the next generation of creativity. Think about young people today. Think about the younger generation today, all the pressures they face from Instagram and all these different places. When there's a wider swath of creativity that you can look at, I can look at a Lauryn Hill and a Missy Elliott, and I can also look at a Meg Thee Stallion and some of the younger artists now. There's just a wider swath of creativity that I can choose from, and there's really richness in that variety. I listen to all of it, and I enjoy all of it. And when you see that variety, people can find themselves along that parallel, and they don't ever feel like they need to sacrifice who they are to try to kind of like, you know, for clicks or likes. Like, no, I can actually just, you know, express my true voice, and it gives people a cheat code to just be themselves. And I think that's when hip hop was at its best, when people are just being original, being themselves. A lot of that's happening today as well. And I think building an authentic bridge between the cultures, connecting those communities together, not saying this is old and this is new and like all that's done. Like, no, we're one culture, we're one community. We're mothers and daughters, we're fathers and sons, and we can do much better when we're built together.
We'll take a short break here and be back with more from Rock the Bell's president, James Cuthbert. And we're back with more from Rock the Bell's president, James Cuthbert.
Do you have a sense of kind of who your target demographic is? Who is the kind of the core of your listenership or your consumer base at this point for Rock the Bell's?
Yeah, we do. So what we see is, and this is actually really interesting, is we have this core cohort that's kind of, you could say, maybe mid-30s to mid-50s. That's kind of like, I grew up with this. I was, you know, at those, you know, critical years in my life. I was at those teenage years, you know, when this culture was happening, where I was in my 20s when this culture was happening. So I was out all the time listening to the music. And that's kind of imprinted on who I am. And I directly correlate myself. I think, you know, I am hip hop. It's who I am. It's a part of kind of like my journey.
Right.
But then we also are seeing, we have this whole other cohort of folks, and we see a large percentage, actually a fairly large percentage of the listenership, even on SiriusXM, is actually under 25. You know, and I kind of call this kind of like, you know, the guy on a skateboard drinking cranberry juice, you know, syndrome, where it's kind of like, you know, what's that song that he's playing? And it's kind of like, there's this sense of discovery, right? So there's this like, you know, for folks under 25, they didn't grow up with linear television. They didn't grow up with linear radio. So they're finding, discovering, and then they're sharing. And often you'll see videos of people discovering Tupac for the first time, or discovering LL Cool J for the first time, or discovering Big Daddy Kane for the first time. And there's this sense of discovery and sharing that's happening all the time. And they're also oftentimes the children of some of those Gen X parents.
I see.
That grew up. So it's like, you know, hip hop's getting ready to turn 50 in a few years. So that's, you know, that swath of time, you know, the people who are 13
exactly.
or 14 during that time, like they have kids that are now, you know, of age. So you actually have this really, it's really interesting when we look at the numbers and the demographics of like, it's this mid to older millennial and Gen X. And then you kind of have this younger cohort as well, which is kind of the lifeblood for any brand. Because not only
are we
the next generation, but we're also satisfying this core.
Was all of this potential, was this what attracted you to the job?
What attracted me to the job is because I love hip hop. I'm my first language is hip hop. So I used to DJ and do freestyle battles and make music and kind of, I've always been in and around hip hop my whole life. So I saw it start to integrate with my kind of personal career. As I went through it, and I was blessed to work on the Sprite brand for some time and launch a campaign where we put rap lyrics on cans of people like Drake and people like Rakim and people like Biggie and Tupac and J. Cole and Missy. And what I saw when I did that is it worked. There was something about sparking intergenerational conversations.
It moves the needle. You sold more Sprite is what you're saying.
We drove double digit velocity gains on kind of our 20 ounce plastic bottles and then our tall boy cans as well. And what I saw is like, it's driving organic velocities in the channel where they made the most money. They make a lot of money in the convenience retail channel. in the convenience retail channel overall. And it won because it was authentic to the culture. It lifted up their voices and it spread across the entire culture. It wasn't just here's the hottest young thing. It wasn't just here's classic. There's something in that bridge where you're bridging the community, you're bridging the culture. You're having like an uncle talk to his son and say, oh, Rakim is, let me tell you about Rakim. You have the son said, Drake is the best thing, that you know, best artist I've ever heard in the world. And they're like, that conversation is good for culture. It's good for hip hop. And it's also good for business.
It sounds like, and it sounds like you're going to make it. So how was it given, like you say, hip hop's about to turn 50, the AARP is in, membership card is in the mail. That's a humbling moment. I can speak from personal experience on that one. But given the amount of time that it has been around, the influence, the multi-generational aspect of artists and listenership, was it when you went out to talk to, you know, the Wall Street elite, the investment bankers that were going to write checks, did they get what you were doing? Did you have to explain it?
Well, I mean, I think you have to explain it to everybody.
So
you know, yeah. So I mean, I think, you know, me, I had been through this process on a smaller scale, working at places like Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola is still a Southern, somewhat conservative company. And I told them I wanted to put rap lyrics on, like, you know, hundreds of millions of pop. Well, guess what? My lawyer, legal friend at the time, this guy Bill, was telling me, he was like, James, he's like, you know, this is the highest risk because once you print these cans, it's not like we can rub off. You can't rub the lyrics off. I was like, trust me on this one. It's going to work. And it worked incredibly well. But when we're speaking to folks, you know, especially kind of when we're pitching and kind of going through the raise process and we're, you know, what we're really pitching is just like this culture is real. The examples of classic hip hop, when elevated, there's so many of them. You think about the fact that, you know, in 2024, breakdancing will be an Olympic sport.
Right.
You think about everything Snoop has done with him and Martha Stewart. You think about 50 Cent and Power having one of the biggest shows. You think about Ciroc with Puffy or Beats by Dre with Dr. Dre. Or you think about, you start throwing out example after example. You think about, you know, the soundtrack to, you know, Michael Jordan's documentary that he did. Or you think about Coachella using classic hip hop acts. You think about Verses and everything that, you know, they've been able to do with that property. There's all these examples of when you elevate classic hip hop culture through a modern lens, it works. So like, man, if we can do this consistently, I see these green shoots happening in all these areas, and we actually bring the culture together to do it as one. You know, it starts to click. They understand the bigness of hip hop. They understand classic rock. And like, man, if I could have owned a company that, you know, dominated classic rock and really brought all the rockers together under one roof, you know, what would that company be worth today? And I think then it starts to click. And then you look at the business model and we have very sound footing in terms of how we built that from the ground up, how we're building this, you know, this business systematically. But most importantly, how we're going to provide for the culture at the same time. So, but as we continue to grow this brand, what you're going to start to see more so is like, this isn't just a radio station. That, you know, this isn't just a concert series or a store. You know, this is a brand that aims to champion hip hop and champion every single person who loves it. So it doesn't matter what your race, color, creed, sexual orientation. None of that matters. As long as you love this culture, there's going to be a seat at the table at Rock the Bells.
You mentioned that you had, as part of your investment round, you brought on some strategic partners. Can you talk about who those are and what they bring to you?
Yeah, I mean, there's a fair amount of, I'm not necessarily going to go into details on the individual investors, just being mindful, but what I'll say in terms of kind of the skill sets that we did bring in, uh-huh. I mean, we brought in people with, you know, whether it's, you know, being able to help us from an HR perspective, being able to help us from a financing perspective, being able to help us as we think about recruiting talent, as we think about long form content, as we think deeper about the culture of people that we brought in. So we're literally, I mean, as we think about, you know, developing experiences, we brought people in and investors and groups in, all of them in their different ways, our value add, have even given some type of advice, have reached out, have helped us on a deal. You know, they've been incredibly, we're incredibly honored to have the group of folks that we do have. So when we thought about strategic investors, we thought about the needs of the business. And then as we lined up the investors, they tick pretty much all the boxes. So we feel completely supported, and privileged to have them invest in us, and we will deliver on the other side.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to leave us a review at Apple Podcasts. We love to hear from listeners. And be sure to tune in next week for another episode of Strictly Business.